We have Ben Hobbs here tonight. We appreciate Brother Ben coming and sharing a good word from God's Word tonight.
Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Last month, my grandma Hobbs turned 90 years old. And I started to think about her life and my grandfather's life. And as I thought about both of them, one word summed up both of their lives, and that was faithful, a faithful servant. And as we go into God's Word tonight, we're going to look at a faithful servant of the Lord. But I looked up in the dictionary and saw what was the definition for faithful. It's a firm adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. It's firmly adhering to a duty, true fidelity. It's loyal, true to allegiance as a faithful subject. Constant in performance and duties or services, exacting in attendance to commands, as is a faithful servant. One can only be faithful to a set of rules, duties, or services. In boot camp, there are rules. The drill sergeant is in charge of enforcing those rules. If one cadet wakes up in the morning and decides, oh, I'm not making my bed today, or I'm not going to do this, there will be punishment to pay for them and probably the rest of the platoon or whoever's in there with them. Because they did not adhere to the rules that were placed before them. They were not faithful to do that. And we see as we go here to God's Word, we're going to look at a faithful servant that the Lord used. And it was faithful in the tough things, when it wasn't always easy to go. Look with me, if you will, in Genesis chapter 6. Look in we'll start reading in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see here, if we were to look at the plight of the world during Noah's day, it looks similar to the plight of the world that we live in today. But amidst all of this trouble, in verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, what does grace mean? Grace means favor or acceptance of God. So Noah found favor or acceptance of God. When everybody else was doing their own thing, Noah was faithfully doing what he had been taught. Precept upon precept, line upon line, Noah was doing exactly what he had been taught. How did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Deuteronomy 13:18 says, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. We see first that you've got to hearken. That means you got to listen. If you don't listen, you're going to miss out on things. I remember one time we were watching a football game at home on a Sunday, and Mom gave us a list of things to do. And she said, did you hear me? And we said, yeah. And we kept on watching the game, enjoying the game. And then that evening, when we didn't do those things that we were supposed to do, we got in trouble. Were we listening? No, we did not listen to what Mom was telling us to do. And because we didn't listen, we got in trouble because we didn't listen. And even so here, we need to listen to what God has told us. Well, how do we listen to what God has told us? We need to be in God's Word. God's Word is the Bible that we have right now, and He speaks to us through His Word. So we need to spend time daily in there and learn the things and lessons that He's got for us each day. And we see here that you've got to listen first, and then you've got to obey the commandments. The Lord has many commandments in His Word, and we need to obey them. That's what separates us from those that don't know Christ as Savior. We're setting an example for others by the way in which we do. So you've got to listen to God's Word. You've got to obey the commandments that the Lord has given. When we were younger, back at home, we were learning how to rake the yard. And we heard that we could rake the neighbor's yard, and we heard that we'd get money for that. And we said, oh boy, we're going to go rake the neighbor's yard. And our mom said, no, you're not. If you rake the neighbor's yard the way that you did our yard, you're not going to go do that. And we looked at her kind of funny-like and didn't understand. But Mom wanted us to do the job correctly. And that's a lesson that stayed with me till this day, that the job's got to be done correctly. And until we improved our working skills, we were not allowed to go and work at that other people's house. But there was a standard of the way the work should be done and the way that the yard should look when it's raked. A half-raked job won't do. And we learned that lesson. So we see here that we've got to hearken to what God has told us. We need to keep God's commandments. And by doing this, you are then doing right in the eyes of God. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "And in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." See the difference? See here, to be a faithful servant, you need to be doing what is right in the eyes of God. "But in the days of the judges," which is similar to the days that we live in, "every man did that which was right in his own eyes." In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2, it says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." See, it's very easy to obey what you think is right. You don't have to do anything to change to be right in your own eyes. But if you're going to be according to God's rules and laws, you've got to know them, and then you've got to follow them. And that takes time and effort. You've got to listen to what the Lord has to tell you. You need to know what the Lord wants you to do and in order to be able to follow those things. Notice that the Lord pondereth the hearts of men rather than looking at when every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. That means to test or to try or to examine. So the Lord is examining man after he has gone through and done and seeing if the ways that he is doing, if the Lord is working there. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Again, there's a contrast. Those that do what is right in your own eyes, the Bible calls you a fool. The goal is then to do what is right in the eyes of God. And we see here that Noah did that. And Noah was good at that. So in we'll hop to verse 9. We found now that Noah has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 9 it says, "And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." As I read through this became very convicting. First, it says that Noah was a just man. Well, what does that mean? It means that Noah was a righteous man and he conducted himself with character. He was willing to do that which was right. If you look at the world in which Noah lived, there was not a lot of godliness going on. God had looked at the world, and what did he say before? The wickedness was so great that the man that he created, the animals that he created, the birds that he created, he's willing to destroy because of their wickedness. So when Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, well, how did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? By these three characteristics right here. First, Noah was a just man. So we see here that he conducted himself with character. You go to the middle of the verse and it says, "and perfect in his generations." Now the word perfect isn't what we think of when we hear the word perfect. The word perfect here in the scripture means complete, whole, entire, wholesome, having integrity. And we see here that again, as Noah was living his life, there was a difference between Noah's life and that of all the world around him. As people looked at Noah, he was different. Sometimes it's good to be different. Other times it's not so good to be different. This is a time when it's good to be different. And we see here that Noah, he was just and he was perfect in his generations. The third thing we see here in this verse at the very end is, "and Noah walked with God." This is the second man in God's Word that this phrase is put in into God's Word. "And Noah walked with God." What does it mean to walk with God? It means to have a relationship with Him. It means that you commune with Him daily. You talk to Him. As you go through your day and something's not going right, you tell it to the Lord. As something goes right or is exciting, again, you tell it to the Lord. It's communion. And if you have a best friend, you have things that are fun and common. I have a best friend. His name's Peter. We grew up together. And we love sports. We love Boston sports particularly. And we're fanatical fans. But we love those things. And as we get together, we talk about that. We enjoy it. We enjoy talking and enjoying watching games together. We have a lot of fun doing that. But it's something that we enjoy. And as friends, we talk about it. As the Lord should be our friend, we should also share the things that go well, the things that go rough that day. Spend time with the Lord. Praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done for us. And that is one thing that we should do. We see here that Noah walked with God. I think one of the reasons Noah walked with God is because he had a godly example. As I was looking over and studying, there's only three grandparents that he did not meet. His first grandparent he didn't meet was Adam. His second grandparent he didn't meet was Seth. Seth died, and then 14 years later, Noah was born. The third grandparent that Noah didn't see was Enoch. Enoch is the first person in God's Word that it says that, and he walked with God. Now, this is a godly man, and his parents have been taught, he's been taught by his parents how to live, what to do. And he's got a godly line that's been taught, but he's got a Grandpa Methuselah that says, yes, I remember when my dad, he was only here 300 years. Now, we look at 300 years and we're like, that's a long time. But most of the people in these days are living 800 to 900 years old. That's why that Noah only missed three grandparents that he didn't see or had the opportunity to see in his lifetime. And we see here that Methuselah would say, I watched my dad was here and then he wasn't because God translated him, because he walked with God. And we see here that through the godly heritage that he had, Noah had a good example of how to walk with God. He watched dad, he watched grandpa, he watched great-grandpa spend time with the Lord. And he watched, before the flood, all of his grandparents are dead. They have passed on, and that's one reason why they were not there with him on the ark. So we see here that Noah walked with God. Look in verse 11. It says, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh was corrupted in the way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, and rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion in which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With a lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring the flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, and under heaven, and everything that is on the earth shall die. We see here that God comes and he talks to Noah. And he tells Noah of the impending judgment that he's going to place upon the earth. As he's telling him of the judgment that's about to come, he's explaining things that Noah doesn't understand. Now think about this. We all have rain. We've had plenty of it this whole summer. But Noah had never had rain. Now God's saying, Noah, you're going to have rain. Now think about this. If you've never experienced something, for some of you Floridians, you've never been able to experience a thing called snow. If you're up from up north, there's different types of snow. There's wet snow, there's dry snow, there's sticky snow, there's glittery snow. There's lots of different types of snow. Some are fun to remove, some are not fun to remove from your driveway. But even so, we see here as we're looking with Noah here, that God has given him some distinct things that he wants him to do as he builds. As he builds and as he's telling him about rain, which he has no clue about. You see, sometimes God tells us to do things that we don't understand why for the certain thing. And maybe through the rest of our lives, we're never going to understand why God wants us to do this. But by faith, we need to accept this is what the Lord has for me and this is what the Lord wants me to do. And we see here that Noah does this. He doesn't know what rain is, but he's willing to do exactly what God has commanded him. Look in verse 14, it says, but make thee an ark of gopher wood, and rooms thou shalt make on the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. Now, when we normally read through God's Word and just read about it, sometimes we glaze over and miss some of the facts. I looked up the Ark Encounter and was amazed at some of the different things that I found out as I began to look into this. They have built an ark. Now, it's not an exact replica of the ark, and they say that. Because if you go just by right here, you've got to have, it's three stories. A cubit, there's a few different ways to interpret the length of a cubit. So that would change slightly the dimensions of the boat. But the ark that they have built is 510 feet long. That's a football field and a half in the length. Now think about the timber that's going to be taken to build something that big. Not only that, but it is 80 feet wide. And then it is 51 feet tall, three stories. And if you think about, they were showing how they got the timber. They got the timber from Utah. And they were dead trees, but they hadn't fallen to the ground. So they cut them, and then they bought the biggest saw to mill them that's here in the United States to mill these trees. And it took them a year or a year and a half to be able to build the ark, and that's with all the technologies that we have. Noah here doesn't have an electric planer to help take care of these massive trees, but Noah is responsible to collect all this wood. Now, he couldn't go down and go, oh, I'm going to Home Depot, or oh, I'm going down to the lumber mill and pick this up. But they didn't have that back then. So Noah's got to take the time maybe to fell each of these trees and then to bring them to the site and where they're going to build the ark. This takes time. This is getting up day after day after day, doing the same thing day after day after day. But he was faithful. He was doing what God calls him to do. Sometimes being faithful, it isn't fun. Sometimes you got to do things you don't like to do. That's part of if you're going to be a faithful servant, you've got to do things that aren't always fun, but they're needful. Here for when we have the T-Ball World Series. One thing I do not like to do is pick up trash. That's not one of my favorite things in life, to pick trash up off the ground. But when you do, people come into our park and they say, wow, this park looks different. Why? Because it's clean. Our bathrooms are clean. There's a difference. So the thing that I just like to do, because it's done, we then become a testimony to the community. So doing things that you don't like to do is something as a servant of God that you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to learn to get over things to do things that you don't always like. And sometimes you got to look and say, well, what's the purpose behind me doing this? And if you can see the purpose, then you can have the right attitude. And if you have the right attitude, it can be joyful as you do those things. As you're picking up the trash that people forgot to throw in the trash can, you can be joyful. You can have fun. Even so, we see here that Noah, with getting the wood materials, that took time and effort. Think about the people making fun of him as he's doing this. This is a crazy guy he's got dementia. He's not all the way there. And he endured all that. But still, he was faithful to do what God had told him to do. Now, God gave other distinctions. He wanted to have the ark pitched within and without. There needed to be a door on the side of the ark. There needed to be a window on the top of the ark. The ark needed to be 3 stories tall. Each of these things God had commanded. And Noah has taken everything that God has given him, and as he's taken it in, and he's learning what the Lord has taught him, we see here that he completes everything of what God wants. Look at verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. See all those rules? 120 years, Noah is building an ark. That takes time. If the door of the ark was on the second story, Noah had to build a ramp to be able to get the animals and the food and supplies into the ark. There's lots of extra work that we don't even take into consideration. Noah built an ark. Woo! That's done. I've read that part of the scripture. But by taking time to think about it, and just looking at the ark encounter that they have, they've set up a very good thing, and it helps maybe understand better exactly how big the ark is. The amount of work and labor that went into making that. But Noah did what God said. And look at the words it says here. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Day in and day out, Noah did what he was supposed to do. We see here that being faithful, it's not always fun, but the Lord commands us to do it. The Lord also, after he built the ark, gave instructions. He gave instructions in verse 18. He says, with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring unto the ark, to keep them alive with thee. And they shall be male and female, of the fowls after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing on the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come to thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. We see here that God again gave instructions. And one thing that I learned as I started to read here is I didn't realize that God told Noah to get all the types of food that they had. Now think about that. You go here in America, we're blessed. We've got restaurants of every flavor, type, and size. If you like barbecue, you can go there. If you like Italian food, we got a restaurant for you there. If you like fast food, we got a restaurant for you there. If you like pizza, we got a restaurant for you there. We've got all of it. But Noah's in charge of this. And I think part of this is also getting the seeds that are for some of these plants, because God's about to destroy the whole world. And it's going to be destroyed in water. So not only are they getting food, but they're getting seeds here. And we see here, this is a time-consuming thing. He's built an ark. It's taken time to get all the seeds and things. That takes time and effort. But he's doing what God has told him to do. And he's willing to when it's easy, when it's hard, he's doing what's right. And that is a neat thing for us to see as Noah is doing what he should have been doing. As we go here, let me hop down to verse. Look with me in chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "And Noah did according unto the Lord all that the Lord had commanded him." And then flip with me over to Genesis 7:16. "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." We see here in three verses within a short period of Scripture that Noah did all that God commanded him, so did he. And we see that twice, and then it's slightly phrased differently in verse 16. So we see here that Noah is obedient to the commandments of God. As we've looked into Noah, we've looked and seen that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How about you and I? As I thought about that, have I, Ben Hobbs, found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Have you found favor in God's eyes and by the way in which you live your life? To me, that was a convicting thought. Am I living my life where I can find favor in God's eyes by the way that I live my life before Him and before other people? Are you listening to what God's teaching you through His Word, through the thing events that come into your life throughout the day? How do you deal with troubles that come your way? Is it, or do you take time? Sometimes I am that way. As things come, it's just like, but when you follow God's Word and you do it according to God's way, you've got to put your craziness aside and just say, "Yes, Lord, speak for thy servant heareth. Here am I. I'm willing to do whatever you've got for me." And as you come at it with that attitude, he's going to be able to help you through that tough time or that tough conversation that you got to have. The Lord's going to give you exactly what you need just for that moment and through that day, being a faithful person. So you need to find grace in God's eyes. If God were to look down at you tonight, would he judge you and say, "You know what, I found grace in, put your name in the blank, in my eyes"? Are you listening to what God's trying to teach you? And then are we keeping the commandments that God has given to us? There are many. But just because there's many doesn't mean that we can't keep them if we follow them and do what he has. And then make sure that we're doing right in God's eyes. Make sure we're not doing right in our own eyes. It's very easy to do right in your own eyes. It doesn't take any effort or any work to do that. Are you doing right in God's eyes? If God were to look down, can he say, "You are doing what I want you to be doing"? And that was convicting to me as I was doing that. And then the last thing, are you walking with God? Noah had a godly example from his grandparents. He learned, and then he learned from the Lord. He had a relationship with the Lord. If someone were to look at you, if God's to look at you, would he be able to say, "This person is walking with me. They're spending time with me, and I know him very well"? Do you know God like you know your best friend? Think about that and ponder that. That's a hard question to answer correctly. Do you know God like you know your best friend? Because he ought to be our best friend over everything else. Do we know our God whom we serve? Think about who God is. God is the God that created all things, the heavens and the earth. We, little man, haven't even begun to explore the full space that God has created. We've barely explored our own galaxy, let alone the millions of other galaxies outside of that. Here on the earth, you look and you see a sunrise, a sunset. God did all that. God made the tides and the moon to do that. God took care to make an atom and oxygen that we breathe and plants that produce carbon dioxide and together it helps us breathe properly. God took care of all these small, minute details and he blended them together. This is the God that we serve. Do we stop and think about a great God that we serve? Do we stop and think about, this is a God that I need to reverence because of the awe that I should have for him? Because he is great. He is amazing. And if we can't begin to understand who God is totally, because of our finite minds, we cannot totally understand. We can begin to. Because if we're in God's Word, we begin to see pictures and mirrors of who God is. Do we know God? And are we thankful for the God in whom we serve? He's a big God. We have big problems, but we've got a greater God. We've been praying for a long time. But God can do great things. All we've got to do is bring our prayer request before Him. He will answer. It may not be the answer that we want, but God will answer in His time according to His will. As we've been praying for Grandma, that's been one thing that's been stressed upon me, is to pray that according to God's will, not according to Ben's will, not what I want, but what God wants. Are we praying according to God's will, even when it's not fun, even when it's hard? Are you taking the time to say, Lord, whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want, and then search for it and go with it after all your heart? As we close this evening, are we walking with God? As God looks at us, can He look at it and say, you know what, I have favor with you. Have you found grace in God's eyes? Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Please help us learn some lessons. Thank you for convicting me as I've been studying for this. There's things I learned that I didn't know before. And it's neat how as you look at your word, you can go there and you can be taught new things every time. If you look in there and ask you to help, just show you new things each time, Lord. I pray that you would help us to be able, to people be able to say that they have found favor in God's eyes. Allow us to be faithful when it's tough, when it's easy, when it's fun, when it's hard. Allow us to be able to be godly testimonies in our community. Thank you, Lord, for being able to give me a history and grandparents that love you and that have given us a good testimony on how to model our lives, Lord. Pray that you would help us this evening. Please give safety as everyone goes home and allow us to have profitable rest of the week this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all. I just had one thought. I said, can you imagine if God asked you to do 120 years of summer day camp? That's what God asked Noah, basically, having to deal with people every day, mocking and laughing for 120 years. God gave that man patience and grace, and we ought to have the same thing. Amen. Appreciate that, Ben. Thank you. Good night, all.